Well, as we come to our final message in this series called Reclaim, where we've gone through and talked about some of the basics of our faith, starting with the essentials of loving God and loving other people and how those should be foundational elements of our lives. We talked about being surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. We talked about finding our purpose and calling in God's kingdom. And even talked last week, Matt led us through a conversation about how we steward the gifts that God has given us, and we use the blessings that we've been blessed with to make a difference and to care for them and to use them for God's purposes. And today, we are finishing up by talking about this idea of commitment. Now, commitment, I don't have to tell you this, you probably already know this, commitment is probably at the lowest now than it has been at any point in history. We see it across all spectrums of society that commitment is just not what it used to be. On a lighthearted note, I noticed this on one of the soccer teams that I coached. There was this kid on one of my teams who just was not interested in playing soccer, even though I'd had that pep talk with these 3 and 4 year olds about how we needed to be committed to the team and how we all needed to do our part and everyone was going to need to play and everything. This one kid just decided that he was just going to hide behind my legs the whole time. He was committed, though, to not playing soccer. He was determined that he wasn't going to get caught accidentally playing soccer, and the whole season, it just every time, all right, hop in the game, he would run right on the field and then just hide behind me so that the ball couldn't get to him. And, you know, hey, that's one level of commitment. But I've seen the lack of commitment in a variety of different spheres of society. There's been someone that I have offered a job to. They have accepted the job, they have committed to it, and then never showed up to fill out their paperwork and never showed up to actually work the job. We see this in work, we see this in families, we see this in commitments to different organizations that we are a part of. Commitment is just at a low point. Now, I don't want you to worry. I'm not going to come up here today with some sort of solution for society about our commitment issues. We probably can't solve that in a sermon or really even in one Sunday. But what I do want us to think about is how we remain committed in our faith. What does that look like for us? What does it mean for us to be people who are committed in our faith and committed to following it all the way through? I love the way that we find it in the passage that Matt read for us. Kind of the key little section to me is at the end of what he read. This is Paul describing to Timothy what it's like to arrive at the end of his journey, knowing that his time of departure from this life into the next is near. And this is the way that Paul describes coming to that place in his life. He says, "For I am already being poured out." This is verses 6-8, if you're following along. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And the key part of that is when he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And it got me thinking as I was reading through this passage, what does it take to get to the end of our race of life, to get to the end of our journey of life, and to be able to look back on it and say, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And most importantly, I have kept the faith." And so the question we ask when we think about this and we think about our lives and how we are impacted and pulled in different directions and how we ought to remain committed and strong in our faith is, how do we finish strong with faith and commitment? How do we get to that place like Paul did, where he's looking back on his journey and he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith"? What does it look like for us to remain committed in that kind of way? I believe that this passage offers to us a few clues as to how Paul was able to keep the faith, how Paul was able to remain committed in his life and committed to what God had called him to do. This passage comes from this letter that Paul wrote to one of his proteges, a disciple of his, by the name of Timothy. And this chapter is really his almost his farewell words to Timothy. And more than that, almost his farewell words to us, the church. because this is one of his latest writings. It's one of those ones where he's passing down kind of his last wisdom that he wants his servant and protege Timothy to take hold of so that he can carry on the work of the church. And as he's communicating this, he's communicating it because he wants to instill in Timothy, and by way of transfer, instill in us as well, what it takes to get to that place where we can say, I have kept the faith, to see what it looks like to be committed and to follow all the way through. And there are three things that I think stand out within this, and they all tie together and pull together into one idea that we'll pull together at the end of the message. But it begins with what he says right there in the very beginning of the passage. He offers a little bit of a charge, and he says in verses 1 and 2, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then a few verses later in verse 5, he says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In other words, he calls on Timothy to stay committed to his task, to stay committed to his task. And if you're taking sermon notes, you can fill that in. Stay committed to your task. Now, when you hear that, you might think to yourself, does this mean I have to work forever? Does this mean I can never retire? And I would say that this isn't necessarily talking about our professions. In the case of Timothy, it was. His profession was to be an evangelist. And for some people, your religious service and your profession are tied together. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we never retire from our profession. I like thinking about it the way that Os Guinness, who wrote a book called The Calling, explained it. He says that everyone has two callings in their life. You have a primary calling and you have a secondary calling. Now, the primary calling for each and every one of us gathered here, all of us who hear the call to follow Jesus, our primary calling is simply to do that. It is to follow Jesus and to serve within his kingdom. And so our primary calling is one that all of us share in common. And then there is our secondary calling. And our secondary calling is what we actually end up doing, whether it's being a stay-at-home mom, working in a certain profession, whatever it is that we go and we do professionally in our life would be that secondary calling. But all of us have that primary calling as well. And I think that's what Paul would get at. And when he thinks about what it means to remain committed and to stay committed to your task, he would say that this wasn't just a message for Timothy, this is a message for all of us. All of us are called on to keep the faith and to keep committed to our task and to our calling as followers of Jesus. Now, you might be thinking to yourself that I'm not an evangelist like Timothy. What does it mean for me to live this out? I mean, there were very clear instructions that Paul gave there to keep your head in all situations, to endure hardship, to discharge all the duties of your ministry. And you might be thinking, okay, what are the duties of my ministry? When we think about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God, there are certain things that all of us are called upon to do. And even within the life of our church, we have certain commitments that we make to one another before God and in the presence of the gathered community. In our church, we have 5 membership vows. And when people joined the church, we had a family join last week. They committed to be faithful in their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. Those 5 things. Those are the 5 things that we commit to. And I would say if all of us were invested in those 5 things, there is nothing that our church could not do. If all of us were committed to pray and support the church through our prayers and to pray for the people within our congregation, to pray for the people within our community, to pray for the church to thrive and for more people to be reached for Christ, and then to be present, to just show up, to be present in our Sunday school class, in our worship services, in our discipleship gatherings, just to be a part of what God is doing. And then we think about our gifts. You know, last week, Matt joked that when you hear the word stewardship, you might think that it's, you know, going to be a message about finances, and you'll probably all breathe a sigh of relief and says, good, Matt preached and he didn't get on to us about not giving to the church. Well, it's a new week, and so, but the idea is that we do need people to give to the church. We need people to remain committed to that. That is one of the ways that we are able to do everything that we're able to do as a church. It comes through the support and the giving and the stewardship of our congregation. When people invest in the work of the church, it enables us to make a bigger impact and to offer the services that we offer and the ministries that we offer. It all takes part because you all support the ministry and the mission of the church. And that idea is something that's so important for us to sustain and to keep being the ministry that we offer. And then we think about our service. There are so many different ways that we can serve within the church. We think about you can work with our children's ministry, our youth ministry. You can volunteer in our tech ministry. You can be a greeter. You can be an usher. You can be a teacher. There are so many different ways that we can all be engaged. So regardless of your gifting, regardless of your passion, there is something that you could stay committed to and something that you can continue to invest in. And then finally, our witness. If all of us were a witness for Christ and a witness for our church outside the walls of our church, what a difference that would make in terms of the church thriving and being able to reach more people. And I believe, and I've said this multiple times before, that I believe that the impact of our church will be directly proportional to the level of commitment of the people that are a part of it. That what we are able to do as a church will be directly proportionate to the commitment of the people that are a part of it. And if all of us live into that primary calling, that we are followers of Jesus and we are called to live out what he commanded us to do, to love God, to love others, to demonstrate that love both within the church and outside the walls of the church, there is no telling what we can do through the ministry of our church if we all were on board and committed within that. And so we want to live into that purpose. We want to stay committed to that task, to being followers of Jesus, to serving within the life of the church, and to meeting the needs of others. The next part that he goes into, it's kind of woven within there, is he gives kind of these words of instructions about what it means to have a governing principles within his life. And he gives this charge to Timothy, and he says in verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And this reminds us that if we are to stay committed to Christ, if we are going to keep the faith, we have to be committed to the truth. We have to be committed to the truth of God's word. We have to be committed to the truth and not just wander towards what we want to hear or what we desire to hear, whatever the latest fad happens to be. We need to remain committed to the truth. There will always be, in every age, different competing ideas that try to pull us away from the truth of God's word. But Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When we hear all these other ideas that sound good to us, and maybe we're drawn to them, and they make us feel good, or they make us feel like they make more sense, the Word of God calls us back to understand that there is truth in following Jesus, that Jesus is the truth. He is the way of life, and he is the truth of life. And so we have to be careful, not just in the days of Timothy, not just in the days that we live in now, but in every age, we've got to be cautious and consistent to not be led astray by that which is not sound doctrine, to not just go and gravitate towards what fits our own desires, and not to just gather around teachers that just say what our itching ears want to hear. We need to stay committed to the truth and keep following the truth in our life. Now, there is within that a certain principle that I learned from my grandmother that I think is so helpful for me, is that we of course, will be exposed to other ideas, and sometimes we you know, the right thing for us to do is just to push them aside and to not be drawn in by them. But sometimes that can be something that sharpens our faith and challenges us. My grandmother was a spiritual hero of mine. She was a Chada member of her church in Macon. Now, she was from Georgia, but for some reason, whenever she talked about her church membership, she was from Charleston. And so she was a Chada member. It was just like, that's the way she talked about it. And she was deeply committed in her faith. And she said something to me when I was a teenager and I was fairly new in following Jesus and making that decision for myself. She said that it is good for us when we wrestle with our faith. And I looked at her and I was like, me, Mama, you're a Chatham member of your church. What do you mean it's good to wrestle with our faith? And she said, well, here's what I mean by that. When we wrestle with our faith, that's what makes it stronger. That's what pulls us back to being anchored to the truth. And I would say that whenever we are pulled aside and we have competing ideas and things that might pull us away from God's word, that can be a beneficial season of wrestling, of struggling to understand what it is that we believe. But we always come back to the anchor of God's word. We always come back to the anchor of sound teaching and the truth found in the teachings of Jesus that we are called to follow and live into. I think about this idea of staying committed to the truth, and obviously Paul wants Timothy to follow and to stay committed to the truth and not to put up with that which is not sound doctrine. But I believe that when we read the words of Paul, especially when he writes in Philippians chapter 3 about how I keep pressing on and I want to know Christ, that Paul would say to us that this is not something that we ever reach a finish line for. It's something we keep pursuing and keep going after. One of my favorite stories about this is a story I heard back when I was working on my doctorate up in Wilmore, Kentucky at Asbury Seminary. There was one of my professors had a really good relationship with a retired professor and former president of the university named Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. And he says, whenever I go and visit Dr. Kinlaw, he always will ask me a question about something that he's reading in Scripture. And it usually goes something like this. My professor Sandwich Joe, he would say, Joe, have you read Psalm 93 lately? And, you know, my professor's sitting there going, maybe, I don't know, I didn't take anything away from it. And then Dr. Kinlaw would say, come here, Joe, let me show you what the Lord's teaching me in Psalm 93. And they would look through it together and go verse by verse, and he would say, this is what God's teaching me recently in my prayer and devotional time. And the thing about it was, I believe he was 93 at the time that my professor was having this conversation with him. He was 93 years old. He had preached all over the world. He had been the president of a prestigious Christian institution. He had written many books, but yet he still wanted to know more about God's word. To me, that's what it means to stay committed to the truth. That even when we feel as though we know it all, or maybe we've seen it all or read it all, we keep going deeper and keep being shaped by God's word in our lives and pursuing that as our truth that we want to govern our lives by. And so Paul encourages Timothy to stay to the truth. And then the last part of the passage, and it actually goes beyond what we read this morning. If we were to read through the remaining chapter, you would hear things like this. Come to me quickly, for Demas has loved the world. He has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And he's going through all these different names. And it occurred to me that when we think about what it is that was so unique about Paul's ministry, and it was also unique about the ministry of Jesus, was that they had incredible ministries, incredible work that they were a part of, but they didn't do it alone. They always had travel companions that they were committed to. And if we want to stay the course in our lives, we have to remain committed to those travel companions. We have to be committed to travel on the journey of life with others who can help us follow Jesus and serve Jesus more faithfully. And so what Paul calls upon them to do, even Timothy is a travel companion of his, is he's always consistent in traveling with others and sharing in the faith with them. Now, I learned kind of the hard way how important in difficult hardships we need people to come alongside us. And if the screens were working, I would show you some pictures of these people. But back a year ago, I experienced one of the most difficult physical strains that I have ever experienced in my life. I was in the middle of running a marathon, and all of a sudden my knees started giving out on me, and then I started walking and my foot started giving out on me. It seemed like if I ran, one hurt; if I walked, the other hurt, and I was only about halfway through the thing. And so I spent the rest of that marathon just kind of going a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And there was this guy by the name of Daniel who was a part of a little group that had all kind of gathered together. We were the ones bringing up the rear. We were running by, and then they were removing barricades and letting traffic come through because it was time for that race to be over. That's the part of the race we all finished. And we're going along, and it kind of, the group that we were a part of kind of dwindled out a little bit. And next thing I know, it's just me and this guy, Daniel, and we're walking and we're talking. And here's the way that he and I finished our marathon. See that flag over there? I'll race you to it. And we would race to the flag. And then we would walk a little bit further. And then you see that door over there? I'll race you to the door. And so we would run a little bit. And that was the only way that we finished that race. We both talked about it, and we both realized that if we did not have each other to encourage one another and to motivate us to get to that finish line, neither of us probably would have made it that far. Now, he and I didn't know each other before that day. We have stayed in touch via Instagram. If you're interested in vegan cookies, I can connect you with the guy, because that's what he does for a living, is he makes vegan cookies. But he and I probably will never see each other again. But in a moment, it portrayed to me the importance of when we travel through life, when we encounter difficulties. It was this beautiful, perfect illustration that I felt like the Lord just placed in my lap of how we need travel companions that go along the way with us. I think about my family. I think about my wife, Emma, and my kids. You know, Matt talked about his wife and daughter last week, so I've got to weave this in to kind of stay on level playing field. I think about how they know me, they know my calling, they know my strengths, they know my weaknesses, they know when I'm at my best, they know when I'm at my worst, and they help point me in the right direction in my life. I can't travel this journey without them and without them being with me each step of the way. I think about my group of friends that are pastors. We've got this pastor small group. And when this service ends, I'm hopping in the car and I'm driving in the rain to spend a couple of nights with them for a retreat that we've had planned for over a year. And it's going to be a great time of fellowship. And it's a time that we block out and we consider important, because we know that we face difficulty in life. We face difficulty with our families and in our ministry. And we need each other to support each other along the way. One of the guys in that group was recently, he had gone through a difficult time, and he had written a sermon in which he was talking about the importance of having people support you along the way. And he decided that he wanted to use, as part of the inspiration of writing his message, the song by the Beatles, "I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends." You know that song? Well, the next line is, "I get high with a little help from my friends." And so he decided that probably wasn't the best route to go. But that idea, all jokes aside, of "I get by with a little help from my friends" is absolutely truth and gospel truth for us. That when we face the difficulties of life, when we face the hardships of our journey, we need those travel companions to be a part of our circle and to be a part of what it is that we go to do. And here's my belief of what we find in kind of these closing words from Paul, is that it's so important to have those travel companions along with you, along for the ride. This is why we are so insistent and encourage people to be a part of worship where you're gathered with other believers, to be a part of discipleship meetings where you get to spend time studying God's word together, whether that's a Sunday school group or a Bible study. We need each other to support one another along the way in our journey. And here's what I believe that this passage points towards. That if we have within our lives the right people and the right truth guiding us, the right people and the right truth, it points us towards the right purpose for how to live our lives. If we want to stay committed and we want to keep the faith, we can find that by having the right people and the right truth in our lives to help point us in the right direction. And so the calling on all of us is very simply, we want to finish well. Whenever our journey ends, it might be far off for some of us, it might be near for others of us. If we want to keep the faith and stay committed and fight the good fight and finish the race, may we do so by being faithful to one another and faithful to the truth of God's word, that we might live according to his purposes and follow his will in every aspect of our lives. As we prepare to come to the table, Matt's going to lead us in our invitation and confession. And it's going to give us an opportunity to, as we confess our sins before God and one another, just simply to reflect on maybe where we have fallen short in our commitments. Maybe to reflect on where we have not followed through on a commitment to someone within our traveling companion party. Maybe it's to something that God has called us to do. Or maybe it's just simply faithfulness to God's word or faithfulness to the participation in the church. This is a time of not just confessing that, but also remembering that Christ has given his life for each and every one of us. That there is forgiveness and there is grace. And there is an invitation to follow and to be made whole in the life that is offered through Jesus Christ. Amen.